The gospel is taken from the 21st chapter of Luke, beginning with the 5th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. A history moves toward God's fulfillment. There will be frightening signs and events. Before the end, believers will draw strength from their relationship to God and shall be given the words they need to testify and to endure without fear. I begin reading with verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, and all will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will the sign that is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, I am he, and this is the time is near, and do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famine and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to separate your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Children's sermon. I think it's time for the children's sermon, if the children will come forward.
Yeah. Y'all sit right here. I have something I want to show you. Normally, we do a little story about one of the lessons that we've just heard. But this is Thank Offering Sunday, and I decided that we should talk about something that we are all so very, very grateful for. How many of you know what this is? Have you ever seen this? You have. What is it? It's a candy corn. You are absolutely right. This candy corn has some real meaning for us. And it's something that we can count our blessings every day. What shape does it have? A triangle. That has two meanings. First of all, sometimes when we pray, with the candy cane pointing up to heaven. It also reminds us of the Trinity, the triune God. The white is God the Father, God who created everything that we can see and everything that we cannot see. Can you think of something we should be thankful for that we cannot see? No thoughts? Well, there are many things we cannot see, but God created. God the Father created everything, made everything around us. Then we have the orange. The orange looks like what? When you're coloring, you color something orange. What? Any ideas? It's orange, that's right. Oranges. And what about fire? Does fire sometimes look orange? So the orange stands for the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, God sent himself down as the Holy Spirit with little tongues of fire on the disciples' heads. And the fire of the Spirit is inside us. And then we have what? Yellow. And what does the yellow stand for? Any ideas? Light. The light. This is God the Son, who is the light of the world. And he asks that we follow in his light. So the next time you have some candied corn, I want you to think about counting your blessing for the Holy, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay, thank you for coming up, and each of you get one. You can. There's a space there for you so that you can draw a picture of one of your special blessings. And at the end of the service, I think there's candy corn for everybody.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were to pick up a newspaper from 10 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago, or maybe even 50 years ago, you'd probably read stories in there, something about a war that was happening, or maybe some sorts of acts of terror, or maybe of political unrest, or maybe some natural disaster like an earthquake or tsunami, or maybe some storm, maybe there's flooding, maybe drought, maybe famine throughout the world, or maybe some other disaster. It's the same thing today. Those same things are happening today as they did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, the same as they happen at the time of Jesus. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus makes the prediction that the beautiful temple that was actually still being constructed would be torn apart, that there would not be a stone left on top of another. And then he goes on to also say some other, mention some of the other catastrophes that were going to take place with storms and earthquakes and plagues. And he also said that his followers, that those who would speak in his name may be arrested. But in that, Jesus says there is an opportunity. There is an opportunity, even in the midst of all that, that when things are going well for people, they don't necessarily want to hear about God. They don't think about God. They think, my life is going well. I've done well for myself in my life. I've ordered things well. I've got a good family. I've got a good job. Money situation is going well. My health is good. We don't think about God in those situations, or we don't really want to hear about God in those situations, because we want to take the credit for that, for the way that we've conducted the life or our business in life. But when catastrophes do strike, when things are in a turmoil, when there's political unrest, or whether there's a tragedy that happens, then people come running to God. They want to find meaning in their life. They need to hear They want to hear some words of hope that things will be all right once again. If you remember when 9/11 happened, after that, churches started to fill up. Attendance swelled within the church services because people did want to hear about God. They wanted to hear that those words of hope. They wanted to have some kind of reason in life. Jesus sees an opportunity in these catastrophes that people will be willing to listen. For those of us who are followers, who are Christians, we have that opportunity to speak the word to people who are really want to listen to what's going on. And Jesus says, don't even worry about what you're going to say, because he will give us the words of what to say. And such powerful words that cannot be refuted, but they will be believed. What starts all this controversy, I guess, of Jesus saying that the temple is going to be destroyed. Actually, if you look at the story ahead of that, we are here, this gospel lesson is taking from the middle of what we know of as Holy Week. Jesus had entered triumphantly into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, and people were shouting Hosanna and waving the palm branches and throwing their cloaks on the road. So that's already happened. And in just a few more days, by the end of the week, Jesus would be arrested and hung on the cross. And so in this time between comes this story. And the story right before the one that we read today was the story of Jesus and followers sitting there in the temple or in the temple area, watching people putting their offerings into the offering plate. And many rich people came by and put in huge sums. And then there was this little old lady who came by, and she dropped in two little copper coins. And that's what gets Jesus excited. He says, he praises this woman for her faith, because those two copper coins are the only thing that she owns. That's it. Everything. She gives everything to God. Now, some of the followers probably caught on to what Jesus was saying. Yes, they understand this, that she's fully dedicated to God, and there's truth in that. But I tell you what, without those rich folks, you're not going to build this huge temple. And people started to look at the huge temple and the beautiful temple of how these massive stones were placed on top of each other and how they were cut so that they fit perfectly well on top of each other. And then all the ornate work with the statues and the carvings and the woodwork and the gold trim and the beauty of it all. And then Jesus goes on and say, not one stone will be left on top of the other. And you can just imagine the people's reaction, and actually it's fairly evident here in the gospel lesson too. They said, what? What are you talking about? When is this going to happen? What are going to be the signs that we know that this is going to happen? And that's when Jesus tells about all the catastrophes that will take place. But they're upset. Now you got to understand the people in that day and time of their understanding of the temple. You know, if a synagogue or a place of worship in a local village would get destroyed, yes, it would be very sad. People would be upset, but nothing like the temple. Because the temple was the center of where their focus was in their worship to God. That's where God dwelt. That was God's house. And so what does this mean if God's house is destroyed? Does that mean that God has already left? Or does that mean that God is now homeless? Does that mean that God has abandoned us? How could God let something happen to his own house? Isn't he going to protect it? And so they were very much upset. But Jesus sees the opportunity. He sees the opportunity even in that destruction of what's going on. God is able to take what is a catastrophe, what is evil even, and turn it around. And look what happens at the end of that week. Jesus is arrested. He's beaten. He's put on trial. And he's crucified, left to hang till he dies on a cross. But even out of all that evil intent, all that ugliness, God is able to bring something new, because out of that death, Jesus rises again to new life, bringing us to the promise of new life. When the people hear of all these catastrophes going on, of the temple being destroyed, of earthquakes, of famines, of plagues, people are upset. But he says, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid, because not one hair on your head will perish. We live in a world where there are catastrophes, where there is evil, where there are evil forces pushing against us. But we don't need to be terrified. Sometimes we may get hurt. Sometimes we may be persecuted. And across the world, Christians are persecuted for speaking that name of Jesus Christ. But that promise holds true. Not a hair on your head will perish. The world can take away our property. It can take away our buildings. It can give us catastrophes, natural disasters, earthquakes, political unrest, plagues, disease, illness. But as Christians who have faith, Christians who see the opportunity to speak, we have that promise that we will live forever with Christ. Our life can never be taken away from us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.